several novels of the Left Behind series rose to number one on the New York Times fiction bestseller list, and the series as a whole almost certainly reached 15 to 20 million American voters. Political aides in the Bush White House must have read several volumes, if only for pointers on constituency sentiment. In that respect, the books were highly informative. LaHaye's novels furnished hints rarely discussed by serious publications as to why George W. Bush's 2002 to 2003 call for war in Iraq included jeering at the United Nations, harped on the evil regime in Baghdad, and pretended that democracy, not oil, was the motive. LaHaye had authored essentially that plot almost a decade earlier. His evil Antichrist, who had a French financial advisor and rose to power through the United Nations, was headquartered in New Babylon, Iraq, not far from the Baghdad of Bush's archdevil Saddam Hussein. The fictional tribulation force, which fought in God's name, represented goodness and had nothing to do with oil, which was one of the Antichrist's evil chessboards. 20 years ago, the New York Times would not have considered LaHaye for the bestseller list, and my scenario of his writings influencing the White House could only have been spoof. Not so today. In a late 2004 speech, the retiring television journalist Bill Moyers, himself an ordained Baptist minister, broke with polite convention. He told an audience at the Harvard Medical School that one of the biggest changes in politics in my lifetime is that the delusional is no longer marginal. It has come in from the fringe to sit in the seat of power in the Oval Office and in Congress. For the first time in our history, ideology and theology hold a monopoly of power in Washington. I would put it somewhat differently. These developments have warped the Republican Party and its electoral coalition, muted Democratic voices, and become a gathering threat to America's future. No leading world power in modern memory has become a captive, even a partial captive, of the sort of biblical inerrancy, backwater, not mainstream, that dismisses modern knowledge and science. The last parallel was in the early 17th century, when the papacy, with the agreement of inquisitional Spain, disciplined the astronomer Galileo for saying that the sun, not the earth, was the center of our solar system. Conservative true believers will scoff. The United States is sui generis, they say, a unique and chosen nation. What did or did not happen to Rome, Imperial Spain, the Dutch Republic, and Britain is irrelevant. The catch here, alas, is that these nations also thought they were unique and that God was on their side. The revelation that he was apparently not added a further debilitating note to the later stages of each national decline. Perhaps the warfare, earthquakes, plagues, and turmoil of the early 21st century are unprecedented, but the religious believers of yesteryear also saw millennial signs in flood, plagues, famines, comets, and Mongol and Turkish invasions. Over the course of the last 25 years, I have made frequent reference to these political, economic, and historical, but not religious, precedents in several books, most recently in Wealth and Democracy, 2002. The concentration of wealth that developed in the United States in the long bull market of 1982 to 2000 was also a characteristic of the zeniths of the previous leading world economic powers as their elites pursued surfeit in Mediterranean villas or in the country house splendor of Edwardian England. This volume, to be sure, is mostly about something other than wealth. Its concluding chapters in Part 3 concentrate on the perils of debt, albeit that is also a financial excess. As we will see, wealth and debt have often overextended together in the modern trajectories of leading world economic powers. In a nation's early years, debt is a vital and creative collaborator in economic expansion. In late stages, it becomes what Mr. Hyde was to Dr. Jekyll, an increasingly dominant mood and facial distortion. The United States of the early 21st century is well into this debt-driven climactic, with some critics arguing, all too plausibly, that an unsustainable credit bubble has replaced the stock bubble that burst in 2000. Unfortunately, as my subtitle argues, Three of the preeminent weaknesses displayed in these past declines have been religious excess, an outdated or declining energy and industrial base, and financialization and debt from foreign and military overstretch. The examples have been clear, and they thread my analysis in this book. The extent to which politics in the United States, and especially the governing Republican coalition, deserves much of the blame for this fatal convergence is not only the book's subject matter, but its raison d'etre.